It is the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at Chickie's on Packer Avenue in South Philly. Coming up at 6 o'clock, live here at Chickie's, is the Jordan Mailata Show with me, Elliot, and Jordan. And then the Players Lounge is at 7 with Ike Reese, future Atlanta Falcons head coach Hugh Douglas, and Elliot Shore Parks, and an Eagles player. We still
don't know.
We still don't know.
Well, then again, I didn't know until the show started last week.
So. Okay. Yeah. All right. Could be anyone.
That's good.
It's kind of fun.
It could be Jalen.
Could be.
Did you see Elliot's tweet about Hugh?
Oh, that he would be a good coach for the Atlanta Falcons?
He took it very seriously.
Yeah, well, I think also, I'm fine with Hugh being the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, but also I think he should continue as midday host at WIP, like Doug Gottlieb. Yeah. I think it would be the best move. I think it's good for his career. They could even do a little Falcon segment, you know, once a week or something.
I hope so. Yeah. Do you – now, in his opening press conference, would he say that defense is a luxury?
Oh, dude. His opening press conference would be – it would be Dan Campbell levels of good. His opening press conference?
Yeah.
Can you imagine him on Twitter if the Falcons lose their first game?
Oh, yeah. He would have to give that up.
Yeah, no. You think he's giving it up? I don't think he's giving it up.
For that paycheck?
He's shown no signs. I think he'll keep his weed business, too.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yes. And down south, you talk about the expansion. There's no doubt he's thinking about that.
Expansion.
Yeah. The Hugh Douglas empire is going to be huge.
Yeah.
Coach of the year, Hugh Douglas. I'll put down a futures bet on that immediately.
Love it.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm the DC, so yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but you still have to do the afternoon show as well.
Of course. Yeah,
okay. All right. All right. Let's get to the top 5 and 5.
It's the 5.
Number 5.
At 5.
5.
With Jack Fritz.
Oh, 5. Beautiful 5.
Let's hold some accountability for what was essentially a preseason game yesterday and hand out some blame balls.
Let's do it.
Number five, not a total reason they lost the game, but it bothered me, and that is Ty Robinson. Ty Robinson, and maybe I'm a little obsessed with him because Baldy told us he was better than Milton Williams, and he hasn't played a snap this year, OG Wade.
OG Wade said he was their number one offseason acquisition.
Yeah, when you pressed them on all the moves they've made, he said, well, they did get Ty Robinson in the third round.
Yeah.
This guy. Huffing and puffing, and Ross Tucker on the broadcast saying, well, he hasn't played all year. He should be dying on that field. And he's tapping himself out as a football player for Jordan Davis, who is an actual important player on the team, is ridiculous. It was ridiculous seeing Ty Robinson pull himself from a game for an actually important player.
And, you know, you hate when college players are too old. Ty Robinson was like 23 or 24.
No, so this shouldn't even count.
Yeah.
he's a third-year player.
He's going to be in there after we lose Moral Jomo.
He will be.
Yeah.
He's going to be an important player.
Yep.
Too bad he's going to be, you know, almost retiring soon.
Yeah.
Fourth blame goes to Petullo and Sirianni, the combination, the Bash Bros, as I call them.
The Bash Bros.
that's what I mean, it was an insane game plan yesterday. And the more and more you go through it, they were trying to showcase Tanner in a game where they could have. They're more interested in showcasing Tanner than winning that football game yesterday.
Showcasing Tanner or showcasing themselves.
Exactly.
One of the two.
And I think that they have a little bit of like, we're actually good. Even while the rest of the fan base is
confident.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they're a little too obsessed with trying to prove them right. Prove themselves right in a way.
Yeah.
Maybe. But the second and one, third and one passes, and he could have handed the ball to Tank Bigsby.
Yeah.
And it was putrid.
Yeah. Well, listen. I couldn't get over the whole second and one, third and one, fourth and one thing.
Yeah.
From that point on, I was like, what are we doing?
Exactly.
Today? Yeah.
I was interested in winning that game yesterday.
I would put Sirianni as one. Because they didn't play the starters, but I imagine that is an organizational decision.
Oh, that definitely is upstairs.
Oh, yes. All right. We'll okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Number three.
I know who's number one.
Number three is the law firm of Ringo and Bennett.
Oh, my God.
I mean.
Oh, my God.
They stink.
Ringo and Bennett.
I mean, hey. Well, and then Keeley not going after Josh Johnson, who's about to run it in.
Turn his back on him.
Yeah, just went the other way. Said no interest today, sir.
Yeah.
How many weeks did we get calls? Put Ja'Korian Bennett on the field. Put Ja'Korian Bennett on the field. Now you know why Ja'Korian Bennett wasn't playing this year.
Yeah, big nose.
He knows.
He was just tackling guys. Yeah, instead, before they had the ball. He was just,
Yeah, he panicked. Every time the ball was in the air, he panicked.
It was unbelievable.
That's almost the number one thing you can't do as a corner.
It's usually, isn't that like the number one principle?
Yeah, you can't panic while the ball is in the air and start grabbing the receivers.
With your back to the ball?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you can't do that.
It's crazy.
And he's like, what, third year?
Him
he's
and Ringo,
been in the league for a few years
Him and
now.
Ringo were the same draft, same round.
So third year.
Yeah, third year.
Yeah.
Can't play.
Well, and you know I never miss an opportunity to lay into the Eagles beat writers a little bit. The Eagles beat writers bromance with Keely Ringo just because he looks good in the locker room because he's good physically. They were all Ringo'd up.
Yeah.
All preseason. All Ringo'd up.
Size, speed, athletic. All those things are true.
Yes.
His football instincts aren't good.
Made a good tackle on a punt, I think it was.
He's a very good cover guy.
Yep. Yeah.
Very good cover guy. He's like my guy, Crash.
Yes, like Sydney.
Yeah, he's one speed.
Yeah.
Instincts aren't great.
No.
Instincts aren't great.
What a player Sydney is. All right, second blame ball goes to Tanner. Listen.
Oh, two? Come on, man.
That's unfair.
Why?
What did he do?
Throw an interception in the red zone.
What's he supposed to do back there? He got a touchdown two touchdowns stolen from him.
From Darius Cooper.
One from Darius Cooper.
With the taunt and then immediately like, no, please.
Yeah. Darius Cooper stole a touchdown.
He was thinking about the next day when that's going to be on the screen.
He was thinking he's going to get a pink slip in his locker for that.
Well, and the Bash Bros taking his touchdown at the one-yard line, making him throw the ball three straight
times
instead of, you know.
Yeah.
I think
Tush Bush or something.
I think two is too high for Tanner.
The Grants and, by the way, as soon as the game turned tight, so did Tanner.
Well, that's true.
As soon as he's looked at the scoreboard and said, I got to go win the game? What are you, crazy?
Well, now it does matter what happens?
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for this. The Mormon missile was not firing yesterday.
Granson. Yeah, that Granson throw.
That was a bad throw.
Bad throw.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. That elbow's not tough, man.
Well, and the final play, you don't throw it out of bounds. What do you?
That's what I'm saying.
Just throw it up in the middle somewhere. Hopefully one guy comes down with it. Maybe you get pass interference.
Maybe you get pass interference.
Yeah.
Come on, Tanner. But the number one blame ball goes to Howie. I mean,
thank you.
That was an organizational. I don't think that was a Nick Sirianni decision.
No, of course not.
That was an organizational decision to sit players and prioritize rest yesterday. And you know what it is? It's old Eagles nonsense. It's soft Eagles nonsense. And I thought Vic Fangio changed that, but I guess I'm wrong.
Old Eagles nonsense. They just did it a year ago.
Not in that situation. I like.
They rested the starters at the end of the when they felt they didn't have anything to play for.
But they actually didn't have anything to play for last year.
Yeah. But I'm saying they still rested.
Yeah.
I'm okay with resting starters if there's nothing to play for.
Well, we had a record.
Oh, the Saquon thing?
There it is. Ding.
Do you think Saquon should have been? Joe DeCamera thought Saquon should have been ticked seeing Devontae Smith out there yesterday.
No.
I don't think he's mad.
Don't think it's the same thing. Saquon, the offensive line would have had to have played. He needed 100 and something yards, and he plays running back. There's more likelihood he could get injured than Devontae getting injured playing corner. And you see all those and this is what you couldn't do with Saquon had he played. And this is coming from a person who wanted Saquon to play last year. You see those routes Devontae ran? They were all to the sideline.
Yes, they were.
That's to keep him from getting injured.
So
that he's just not in the middle of the field getting hit by somebody. So they designed those plays, and they tried to protect him as best they could. And you notice, I don't think Tanner threw the ball to anybody until Devontae got that 1,000 yards.
Yeah, I think there might have been one pass to somebody else. Well, you know me. What is most important to me is having a cohesive moral code.
Correct.
And saying that you don't want anybody to get hurt and sitting your starters.
But playing
your second best receiver is not for 1,000 yards, which isn't even a real thing. I know it makes him happy that a wide receiver, but it isn't a record and it's not a
It's just 1,000 yards.
It's just 1,000 yards. So I think that decision is actually embarrassing. Either it's important to you or it's not important to you, meaning that keeping everyone healthy.
Yep.
And it obviously wasn't that important to him because, even the catch that he got over 1,000 yards, that's the kind of catch you get hurt on.
Yeah.
You know?
It damn sure was. I said, get up.
Yeah, yes.
I said, please get up.
This hour brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Their big winter sale extended through January. That's right. Save 40% off all windows and doors. Call 877-GO-GUIDA or go to goguida.com. 215-592-9494. Rocco from the Dirty 30, you're on WIP. Whoa, what's up, Rocco?
Well, you guys just stole everything, stole my thunder. This is all the points I was going to make.
There you go.
Well, look, thunder can ring out more than once. So bring it. And I'm sure, look, we're all talking about the same junk for 4 hours today anyway, so go ahead.
Yeah, I know. You're probably exhausted. But, you know, I
it's hard work.
I was at the game, and I walked away from the game. I was very confused. Hearing your analysis, I'm more confused. But the thing that that really stuck with me was Devontae. Now, that 1,000 yards, was that a financial incentive for him to get that 1,000?
I don't believe so.
And you know what? Like you know what? He's making like almost $30 million. Like I know that the $100,000 for 1,000 yards might be nice, but you're either doing this thing or you're not doing this thing. And I think when you're paying a player that much money and they're that important, then you have the right to say, "Hey, look, this is a bigger thing right here." Mm-hmm. And I think it was we're lucky he didn't get hurt, but it shows the decision-making just not cohesive, and it hasn't been cohesive all year long.
Well,
you can't be just to go back for a second, Rocco, you can't be about you can't be the culture guy and let AJ get away with what he got away with for 5 straight weeks. You can't be all about culture and all about, you know, together and all those things. Like,
That's what if it was only about padding, you know, stats, then last year they should have let Saquon play against his old team. Even with backups, you know, he could have got the 100 yards. I mean, he could have got the 100 yards and broke the all-time record. That's why I was, like, confused about the whole scenario. And you alluded to the last catch that he made. Yeah, let me tell you something. If he didn't flatten his body horizontally when he landed, those two Redskins players ran into each other. But it could have been a very different outcome if they had both hit Devontae at the same time.
They got lucky. They got lucky on that one. Yeah.
Tanner McKee did not make any of those catches easy for him. Now, I mean, he really didn't. So, I didn't get any of that. Especially if there was no money on the line and it wasn't a record. It was just to add another 1,000-yard season. I mean, come on. In the era where we're looking at maybe going to 18 games, I mean, what's 1,000 yards anymore? What's 1,000 yards anymore?
It means I think in the grand scheme of things, you're absolutely right. It's not a big deal to anyone but Devontae Smith. And it's important to Smitty. He wanted to have 1,000 yards receiving. There are little milestones that individual players like to have, and those running backs and receivers – they want that 1,000 yards. They just do. It looks better on their resume.
Now, Hall of Fame resume.
Yeah, now he's had over 1,000 yards in three out of the last 4 years. You know, AJ's done it, I think, 4 years straight, right? 4 years that he's been here, I think he's done it, something like that, 4 or 5 years. So I agree with you, Rocco. It's not anything that is significant to us as fans or maybe even his other teammates, except for they're just happy that he's happy because that's what he wanted. He wanted to be a 1,000-yard receiver. And to be quite frankly, from my little petty standpoint, he finished as the leading receiver this year, which was appropriate to me because, to me, I think he was the best receiver on the team this year.
Leading receiver in terms of yards? Did he pass A.J.?
He passed A.J. 5 yards.
Oh, I'm sure A.J. was thrilled.
Oh, that really – boy, talk about setting a culture.
Yeah. Yeah. But thank you for the call, Rocco.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you got
I
it,
appreciate
guys.
It. Thank you. Yeah.
But A.J. got his 1,000 last week.
Yes.
And I'm sure A.J. wanted Devontae to get 1,000 yards.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Year.
Yeah, they seem
they're
to
good
get
friends.
Along.
Yeah, they're good friends.
But maybe 6 yards less, but
yeah,
still over.
Yeah,
1,000.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, two receivers, 1,000 yards. Who's throwing all those passes?
I'm glad you said it.
Yeah, who's doing that?
Both had 7 touchdowns, too, I believe.
Well, Devontae, did he have 4 touchdowns this year?
I thought he had 7.
They showed it yesterday.
I could be wrong. Yeah.
Now, it could have been a graphic error, but it said 4. That felt low.
215-592-9494.
He had four touchdowns this year.
Yeah, it seems like he's had more than four.
Chris in Overbrook.
Yes, he hasn't been our best receiver.
You're in WIP. What's up, Chris?
hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Chris?
What's up, Chris?
See, I don't see what everybody's complaining about when the Eagles are resting their starters. I think what the Eagles are saying by doing that is we don't care who we play. We don't care where we got to play. We don't care how many teams that we got to play to get there. Let's just rest these starters because we're going to win anyway, and we got to go to a run to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, they can say that.
It's like flipping a switch.
They can say that, but just numbers-wise, teams that play at home win at a pretty high clip in the playoffs, and they had an opportunity. I understand. I agree with you. That's what they were saying. I don't necessarily agree that that is the best path forward, and I'm hesitant to think that a week of rest really changes how – I'm sure in the moment the players felt better, but the offensive line has been run down all year. It's really difficult. Well, hold on a second. Hold on. It's really difficult for me to believe that they had a week of rest during the bye. They came out of the bye. They lost three straight games. Mm-hmm. Three straight games out of the bye. So, you know, I don't know. That two seed – I agree with you that that's what they think. I think that is pretty egotistical is the wrong word. I think they think they're a little bit better than they are this year.
I don't. The whole thing is we did that for the last couple Super Bowl runs and it worked. That's number one. Number two, we're a dominant team, and Jalen Hurts is the type of quarterback, he's not running from anybody. He wants to play the better team.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
We want to play the better team. We're not going to dodge Green Bay. We're not going to dodge San Francisco to get the Green
Hell
Bay.
No.
We want San Fran.
You know what? Instead of they don't even care where they have to play. They should decide, even though they have a home game on Sunday, they're so big and bad, they should volunteer to move the game to San Francisco just to show how good they are.
But we're talking about reality now. So we want San Fran in our house because we already know what the rivalry is about. We don't care about Green Bay. We want San Fran. That's number one. Number two, what kind of analysts are on any kind of radio station talking about bench? If Jalen Hurts was in that game yesterday, we win.
Why?
Bottom line. Why? That's the difference because
the backups?
Jalen Hurts is an elite quarterback.
Okay.
Wow.
Chris, let me ask you this. The Eagles were 20th in points this year. They averaged 23 points a game. They had several games that they scored less than 17 points. Why are you – that is with A.J. Brown, with Devontae Smith, with Dallas Goedert, with the starting offensive line. Why do you believe so wholeheartedly that the offense would have been any different yesterday with Jalen in there as opposed to Tanner McKee?
Jalen Hurts is an elite quarterback. If you look at his numbers, they're not with mid-level quarterbacks. All his numbers that he has accumulated throughout his career are all with the elite quarterbacks that have ever played this game.
Wow.
Which ones?
Whoever. Stack them up against whoever you want to.
Dan Marino.
Joe Namath.
Dan Marino?
What the hell are you talking about?
Ho! Look at his mouth. Look what he did in his first 5 years, and compare it to all the greats that have been playing
Joe
in this game.
Joe Namath couldn't carry Jalen's
chop. Stop playing with me, bro.
Chris, stop.
1984, 5,000 yards and 48 touchdowns for Dan Marino.
That's Marino.
Tell me, what's that? What's that?
Not Marino.
Lunatic. What?
How many Super Bowls did Dan Marino
That's not a stat. That's not a stat. That's not a stat. Thank you. Moving on. How many fake stats are our callers going to bring up today?
Yeah.
That's three. Not even close. 48, 30, 44 passes.
Let me ask you this, Chris. Last question. Who is a better quarterback, Dan Marino or Jim Plunkett?
No, come on, don't play that game.
I'm just going to ask you again. You don't want to answer it because you know it throws you into a tizzy. Who is a better quarterback, Dan Marino or Jim Plunkett?
Listen, you can just.
Who was a. No, no, no. The
no,
answer.
Dan Marino, no,
you know the answer, just say it.
Who is a better quarterback, Dan Marino or Jim Plunkett? Okay. Who is a better quarterback? Joe Flacco or Dan Marino?
We all know that Dan Marino was a better quarterback than Joe Flacco.
But Joe Flacco won the Super Bowl, and so did Jim Plunkett.
But first off, compare Tim Plunkett's numbers, their numbers to Jalen Hurts' numbers. It's not even close.
You want to compare Joe Flacco's numbers to Jalen's numbers?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work out as well.
They're
not even close. He's a dominant. He's one of the most elite football.
All right. Enough.
Yep.
Enough. You can like Jalen without being a psychopath.
That's all we try to
do. Just stop being a liar. That's all I ask.
By the way, they're 2-0 out of the bye this year.
Who?
The Eagles.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they lost three straight right out of the bye.
It was after they
won. After they beat Green Bay.
Green Bay and Detroit. And then they lost three straight. I've been lying all day. Yeah. Thank you for making me accountable.
I didn't pay attention to it. Yeah.
Thank you for keeping me accountable, Jack.
A lot of fake stats thrown out on the show today.
Yep. Look.
Gonna give credit there, Jack?
Yeah, Buzz texted me.
Shut up, Buzz.
Dude, how about Buzz's? I mean, have you noticed this?
Oh, way to jump in there, Buzz.
This extra level of like, he's got a little something happening right now.
Well, you know what it is? He thinks
he's peacocking a little bit for no reason.
He thinks he's untouchable.
Oh man,
you know?
Well, don't go that far, Buzz.
Yeah, don't make deep voice. Luke is lurking. He's lurking.
Oh man, Buzz is pulling shifts. He's on TV.
Dude, I'll get Morgenstein in there. I don't care if he's working for the sales department.
So Flacco's first 5 years are actually pretty close. Just like win and loss wise, they're 11-5, 9-7, 12-4, 12-4, 10-6. Yeah. And only 25 passing touchdowns once, which Jalen did this year. He had 25 passing touchdowns.
Correct.
Which was shocking. I looked that up the other day. I was like, not that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's all right. He's just like Flacco. That's what we all say.
Yes.
Well, two Super Bowl MVPs. Yep. Did Flacco win the MVP?
He did.
All right. Yeah.
But that run was also, you know.
Now that run was impressive.
It was outrageous.
The deer antlers and everything.
Dude, the
lights going out.
The Joe Flacco, is he elite conversation might be the best quarterback debate of all time.
Well, we're kind of back.
Yeah, we are.
We had that debate around here.
Yep.
Yeah. Flacco, is he elite?
215-592-9494 coming up next. We'll go around the league.
Man.
A lot of stuff going on in the league, so we got to go around it. We're at Chickies and Feasts in South Philly. You can catch all the Eagles action at the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles. That is Chickies and Pete's. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Man, winter hits fast. Snow, ice, wind. Don't wait for something. Don't wait for something on your home to fail. There you go. Call my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding. Now, they've got lifetime warranty roofing, siding, and American-made Provia and Anderson windows and doors. From Philly to the Jersey Shore, Emmons is a platinum Owens Corning contractor, which means Owens Corning warranties their workmanship for life. That's right, life. There's no better roof than Owens Corning Roof by Emmons Roofing and Siding. Financing is also available. Go to callemmons.com or you can give them a call at 833-4-EMMONS and tell them Ike sent you.